Hello, everyone. This is Brian, and this is the final part of our three-part Patreon-exclusive mini-series, The Wild Sea Wreckage, featuring guest GM Felix Isaacs. This entire mini-series is now available over on our Patreon. Either to members of the Dice Pool, or if you want to go to our store and buy the series, you can do that as well. This is just a little taste of what you're going to hear in that series, so check it out, and if you like what you hear, head on over to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and become a member of the Dice Pool to hear this entire mini-series, plus over 50 hours of additional bonus actual plays. And without further ado, we welcome you back to the Wild Sea.
The architect of my nightmares has returned.
Yay. Well, I looked over the lines and veils very carefully.
No, this is awesome. I'm loving it so much.
The architect of my nightmares has returned.
So funny. Yeah.
Felix, you should put that on a business card.
The architect of nightmares.
No, specifically the architect of your nightmares.
My nightmares. Yeah.
The architect of Augusta's nightmares. Augusta's nightmares.
If we did like trailers for Patreon episodes, that would go in.
It can.
I'm back. Oh, it's the architect of my nightmares. Oh.
There they are.
Okay, are we ready?
Ready.
Yes.
Ready.
Then we are back, and we are no longer in the interior of the ship. We're no longer with Kiri, Augusta, Wreck, or Red. In fact, we are out on the Awuga.
And everything's
the ship
going
that
great.
Is left outside.
Everything's fine. Nothing is wrong.
No, in fact, things on the Awuga are a little bit strange. Now, of course, you as characters won't know this is going on, but you as players might find this vaguely interesting.
You sick fuck.
Lucrezio has been chowing down on Grimberries for quite some time now. The rats have docked the chopper. Is it the chopper? Was it? Was it a chopper?
Yeah, the chopper.
Rats have docked the chopper, and are kind of rustling around the engine room. And the pickers are kind of spinning crossbows. Occasionally, they take a pot shot or something out in the waves, but it's all very quiet. And it's the dead of night out there now. But none of them want to sleep, not next to this huge, partially wood-covered corpse hulk of a ship that you're exploring. Because every now and then, although they try to show an air of kind of like, I don't really care what was going on, they're never that far away from the broadside cannons. Like, they're always ready to just kind of rush and fire at something just in case anything goes wrong.
That's my boys.
But Lucrezio is there, and every now and then he'll call out, "Guys, did you see?" No, don't worry about it. Because Lucrezio, eating this bushel of Grimberries that he's been handed, is experiencing a good chunk of old memory of dead Ectus.
Oh my god!
And
he's tripping.
For him, it's kind of like a waking dream. Yeah, it's one of those things where you eat one and you go, "Oh, that was, I shouldn't do that again." Then you have another one.
Oh no!
And Lucrezio is starting to worry, and from the corner of his eye, that the frenzy parrot is just eyeing Lucrezio, just like still making that occasionally choked, like, I'm ready to make a really big noise, that never quite comes until this is what, half an hour ago or so for you, as given the amount of time you spent looking at the engine and making a torch,
right. But time well spent.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. But the frenzy parrot does give off one almighty squawk, because the ship itself shakes. And Lucrezio kind of starts out of this kind of waking dream. And that, what was what? And you can see the hull tearing open slightly. More of the wood casing falls away. Someone's whisper, not naming any names, is starting to rip the ship apart at the seams. Very slowly, as you know.
It's a creeping seam, yeah.
Exactly, it is a creeping seam. It's not going to fall apart now. Might take years, might take hours, might take until the end of this adventure. Who knows?
I should have kept Ravel.
Knit this ship back together. But yeah, this is what happens. But Lucrezio also notices one thing that no one else on the ship seems to notice, apart from the frenzy parrot. Because as that tear happens, the parrot is not screaming out because the ship's side has opened up a little more, a few more of the interior decks exposed. It's screaming because, as the Grazia also notices, there is a lone silhouette at the top of the ship looking down at the Awuga.
No.
And let's flash back to inside because we have other silhouettes to deal with.
I knew that Ectus up top was no good.
Too many silhouettes. No.
I get a quick text from the parrot.
Hey, guys.
Says, yo, bro, get back out here. Weird dude on deck.
It says you up.
You up?
Yeah.
Says, yo, bro, you up?
Oh, that parrot. But yeah, Kiri, let's flash back inside to the present moment and you. You may be no math genius, but there are definitely more than two silhouettes watching Red as Red climbs this chain. And in fact, you see more and more appear coming into the circle of torchlight from this burning branch.
And we're busy setting up our combo move.
Oh, yeah, you're playing rock, paper, scissors.
This is why it was such a perfect moment for this, because you're deep in conversation and Kiri's just looking on as these silhouettes kind of slowly shamble and drag themselves around the circle of light. So Kiri, we'll start this off with you. What do you do?
And we just see the silhouettes. We don't see what these things are.
You can tell with a decent amount of certainty, given the fact that they are normally between kind of like 8 and 12 feet tall, which is too big for most things on the wild sea, but the perfect size for an Ectus. They're in fact almost the size of Wreck, who is Titanic, I believe.
Oh yeah. No.
They definitely look Ectus-like.
Hmm.
But they don't move like Ectus, because most Ectus, you know, they're proud, they're cactoid, they've got these bunched muscles, they move in these beautiful kind of explosive leaps and steps, and it's all, but these things are twitching and shambling and leaving the clouds of dust that partially occlude the light behind them. Kiri, what do I do?
Okay. Can I use my whisper, the comforting dark, to consume the darkness in this room?
Oh, I didn't think to extinguish the torch. Shall I?
No. Yeah.
I can see things. I don't like seeing them. I'm going to stop seeing them right now.
We're going to turn out the lights so that no one can see them.
Perfect. Can you use to consume the darkness in the room? I'm going to let you try. But this is going to be a fortune roll because this might go wrong.
I hope it goes wrong.
Okay.
You always do.
Climbing.
Make
climbing,
me a fortune roll. A single
d6. Climbing. Yeah. Up and up.
Yeah, so I think if I position my arm like this and you get underneath and then hold the trigger and then I put the wrecking ball in.
We're at a perfect angle right now.
We're at the perfect angle. I'm glad we're focusing so much on the target that we're not paying attention to anything else.
You know, I never feel right more move. At home. I never feel more at home than when I'm free soloing. You know what I mean? Just really connected.
I rolled a 5.
A 5. Kiri, you said a 5?
Brilliant. Yeah,
okay. In that case, you are not going to consume the darkness for everyone else, but you are going to consume it for yourself just for a moment. You fall because gravity for you is just flipped upside down. You get the same experience that Wreck has. The darkness of the ship around you is now gone because you're in a blisteringly hot, brightly lit interior from an entirely different time. There are the kind of Ectus that you remember from the waves. Like, these are not corpses. These are not shambling figures. These are, like, bright-sashed engineers desperately working at this engine. The chains are rattling as they move. The engine itself is thrumming and pulsing. And you hit the floor, which is, for once, actually, this time, really just the floor. And a few of them turn around to you and shout things in Saprek. And one of them, seeing you, recoils. Because, Kiri, you're a Ketra, and Ketra didn't exist before the Verdancy, so they have no idea what you are. What is this weird gelatinous skeletal proto-human?
No, up with this Ectus, guys.
And as soon as one sees you, there is this ripple of shock around the other Ectus in the room. A few of them recoil. One runs for some kind of alarm system on the wall.
No, don't do that.
Because to them, this alien presence has just dropped into the engine room.
Oh my God.
And It's gone in a second. Then you gravity again. The darkness returns. You flip back to the present day, but the alarm is still ringing out the ship. And Augusta and Rec and Red, you hear this alarm too. This odd inverse echo of an alarm noise that sounds worryingly like the parrot, just ripping through the darkness of this ship. And that is when the silhouettes around you that you see for a fraction of a second standing waiting. That's when they launch themselves into an attack. And let us drop into combat for this one.
And I'm still climbing?
First off, I'm going to ask you all to mark a point of mire. Oh, yeah, you're still climbing. You're away from this. You're fine.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you all to mark a point of mire, and then we'll slip into a combat. So.
I have an aspect, Leviathan Furs. You never mark a mire when confronted with an unknown or terrifying beast, no matter the size.
You do not mark mire.
Augusta damn. Just turns around and is like, wow, this is bad. She's just very unfazed a lot of the time.
Can I use a mire in a beneficial way, potentially?
I mean, you could try. Tell what you'll do.
I have a mire. Things around you break at the slightest touch. And currently I'm surrounded by a bunch of shambling Ectus zombies.
That's true. Yeah. I'm going to take that into account. Yeah, okay. That sounds perfect. It might also have unintended complications.
I love unintended complications.
Okay, right,
I have a mire that I'm really excited about. Time is a tangled tapestry, your presence an uneasy blade.
What does that do?
That's, I mean, props to whoever wrote that mire.
They are a true wordsmith. That's,
you might say they won an Emmy for it. Actually, yeah, that's from a book that didn't win any, so
I'm gonna mark my mire. Outsiders are difficult to trust.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Very good.
They are.
That couldn't have been more perfect if I planned it, which I promise I didn't. That's just really great coincidence. Excellent. Well done. That's really good.
I like that it's difficult to trust in the sense of you're like, ooh, maybe they're not bad. It's hard to tell.
Kiri, you're actually in the most possibly the most beneficial position here. Those figures, those silhouettes, which we now, I mean, I'm not going to dance around it. They are a hollowed Ectus rushing into the attack. They're not rushing for you. They're rushing for the ones around the engine. And you did say you're off in a corner doing your own thing. You aren't ignored by them.
Pouting in a corner.
You have, for the second time in as many seconds, you have the element of surprise, except now in the right time frame. So, yeah. But yes, let me set out a proper thing for this. I don't often do this these days, but let's do it properly. Actual combat tracker. And who wants to go?
I think Rec yells out, "Red cannonball!"
Red's just climbing. I love climbing.
Yep. What was the code word?
Cannonball.
Code word.
Augusta, fire.
Firing.
And we shoot the engine.
We're going to do our combo move. Are we shooting the engine or are we shooting?
That's
the
where we
Ectus?
Were aiming.
Do we pivot?
The plan was aim at the engine and wait for the signal.
All right, I guess we shoot a cannon at the engine and see if that does something to the attacking Ectus.
Well, they're trying to protect the engine is my theory.
So we'll just make it worse. All right, cool.
Copy. Yeah.
That's, hey, you want to shoot the engine? I'm not going to stop you. Make
pivot!
That roll for me.
Pivot!
Also, this is using my cannonball dreams trait where I can launch myself
cannonball
as
dreams.
A projectile.
I love it.
And I can't take credit for that one because that was made by the absolutely fantastic Ryan Kahn.
Oh, we love Ryan Kahn.
Shout out to Ryan.
I'm going to do iron, break, and an advantage for Cannonball Dreams. Can I have another advantage for it being a combo move?
No, okay.
No, I tell you what, you can't, but I'm not going to make you cut.
Okay, cool.
That's better.
Oh, baby, we got a 6, a 5, a 5, a 4, and a 3.
Trying for the twist. Are you taking this as a critical? And in fact, if you would rather have a critical than a twist, I'll let you bump the impact up, which I think for you will make it massive.
Ooh.
Yes. Also, I do. My lemur does let me, if I do massive damage, to immediately fire a second shot of the same result.
Oh, damn. Hell,
so I think my arm stays, but the cannon arm stays behind since Augusta is operating it and the rest of me launches. And then the lemur is like holding up an explosive cannonball to you like,
Yeah.
Perfect. Vinny, you're aiming at the engine?
Aiming at the engine, yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to let you know in advance, Red, this might go really badly for you specifically.
Hell yeah.
I think I'm starting to see, especially with my mire of time as a tangled tapestry, your presence an unwieldy knife, I'm seeing this happen and like connecting it with the warnings of my frog and the schematics of the engine. And I'm like, wait. I'm like turning around. I'm like, wait. And like in slow motion, I'm like waving my arms. It's all connected.
And meanwhile, I'm flying through the air as a cannonball.
And that is the end of this preview for part three of our three-part Patreon-exclusive miniseries, The Wild Sea Wreckage. If you like what you hear, head on over to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and become a member of The Dice Pool. There, you will hear this entire miniseries, as well as 50-plus hours of bonus actual plays. Once again, that's patreon.com/manysidedmedia. We'll see you there.
If you're looking for more great gaming content from everyone here at Many Sided Media, you should consider subscribing to the 20 Sided newsletter. It's a free, bi-monthly newsletter for people who love games, make games, and just love making games. To subscribe, just go to 20sidednewsletter.substack.com or follow the link in the show notes.